Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Okay, we are back. This is part two of our FPIES podcast. If you missed the first episode, go back and listen to that and then come back here with us. In the first episode, my husband Jess was on with me where we talked about our oldest daughter, Sarah Mason, and how she had FPIES as a child. We talked about what FPIES actually is, how uncommon it is, and we discussed some history from how we may have seen signs as, you know, new parents of the early signs of FPIES coming. And then we also talked about our experience with leading up to her FPIES diagnosis. So in the last episode, Jess, we were wrapping up on how the doctor had just said to us, go home and trial foods for 10 to 14 days at a time and then come back and try that same food a week later, and then you know that it's a safe. Do this with one food at a time. And y'all, I'm not talking about like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That don't count as a food. Mm-mm. The bread is one food.
Yep.
The peanut butter is one food. The jelly is one food. So that is how many weeks of your time? I will never forget I will never forget when we were done trialing bread, peanut butter, and jelly. By the way, I homemade my peanut butter, and I think my jelly too. Maybe not. Maybe I found like a natural jelly or something. But
yeah.
And I was able to finally pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to take to the park. Like, I will never forget that. And she was well over a year old that point. So anyway, one food at a time, 10 to 14 days. And he said between Monday and Friday, between the hours of 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock p.m.
You two people with full-time jobs.
You two people who work 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock Monday through Friday and have a full-time, you know, in-home. We took her to an in-home sitter at that time. And so, you know, Jess and I went home and, like, we prayed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Really hard. And really, I mean, we were just like, first of all, anyone who's a parent knows that when someone looks at you and says you must do something for your child, you're going to do it. You're going to bend over backwards to do it. And so I almost felt like he was charging me with a task. And it's crazy because since then I have met so many parents that have also seen him, the same allergist, who have not been told that.
Right.
Who have kept their full-time jobs. Who have, I mean, I don't know their strategy and how they did it, but like they were not told to do what I was told to do. And so to me, I'm just like, was that a God thing?
Yeah.
It was 100% a God thing, yeah. You know, like it was 100% a God thing. And so, I don't know, which way should we take this? The FPIES way or the work way first?
I mean, is it possible to do both?
We can do both. We can do both. So in that time, I was a director of health and wellness at a nonprofit. And as a dietitian, I honestly did not, like, okay, so when I was in dietetic school, towards the end of my internship, do you remember I had like a meltdown? I was like, I hate all of it. Like, I hated food service. Like, I didn't see myself working on a hospital floor for the rest of my life. Like, I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so that community aspect, like the nonprofit, like getting into the community, working with people, I really loved, obviously, weight loss and like the clinic aspect of that. But really like working in the community and teaching the community about health and about food. That was my jam.
Yep.
And so I felt like it was such a blessing to have the job that I had, because that's exactly what I did for this nonprofit. I mean, I got to go in and teach teachers how to have a healthier classroom. I got to go in and teach students how to choose healthier, you know, when presented. And
build gardens.
Yeah, we built community gardens. Like, oh, it was just a wonderful, wonderful job. And so, but then, you know, as you become, as you excel in your position, as you know very well, Jess Shelby, as you excel in your position, you get promoted. Like, that's what happens. You want the promotion, you want the more money, you want the what, quote, fame, but it also comes with different job titles. Mm. Like, it also comes with different responsibilities. And that's where I was. So I was in a director position. I was looking at budgets and spreadsheets and meeting agendas a lot more than I was community gardens at this point. And I wasn't as fulfilled as I had been in my first years of not being a director.
Yeah.
And so we knew that in the time, but we also knew in the time, like, we needed two incomes.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Or we thought we did. I mean, in
hindsight.
In hindsight. I mean, it's just like any place in life, typically, whenever you walk into it, at first you have no idea. So, like, we were just, you know, first time we had two incomes because we had just been married for a few years. Mm-hmm. And so we had just gotten used to having two incomes that were, you know, steady.
Right.
I had just started a new job, you know, 2 years before.
Right.
So, like, I was just...
And it,
like,
was in sales.
It was so in some sales.
Some months were wonderful. Some That's months right. were...
And so the first year to year and a half were just, like, hit or miss. Not real sure, you know, do I like this? Do I not like this? Am I going to make it in sales?
Right.
And so we were just hitting a place in our lives where everything kind of started clicking.
Right. It was smooth.
Right. It was smooth for, you know, the past, I'd say, a year. No, 6 months to a year.
Yeah. But, like, if you know me, you know I don't really jive with smooth.
That's right.
I like to shake it up all the time.
All the time.
And so we prayed on it and we prayed on it and we prayed on it. And, like, we both eventually found a peace in accepting that we could tighten up. We could make a change if we had to.
Yeah. Especially for the sake of our daughter.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I went to my bosses and asked for part-time. We thought it would be the best of both worlds. I could trial foods a few days a week. I could go into the office a few days a week. Where I was pretty flexible. It was a pretty flexible, like, it was family friendly. Lots of mamas in there. And so we thought I could easily work from home a little bit. And they were on board. Like,
yeah, and you also thought that because other people not necessarily did it from the group you were with, but y'all
contracted. So I was a director, but I was also over a highly paying grant program, and I contracted out to three mamas that were working from home on the same project that I was working on. And, you know, they were, of course, in different locations around the state, but they were working from home.
Right.
They were doing it just fine. And so, yeah, there was really no way that there could have been a no.
That's
from
right.
That. Yeah. And so, but yeah, my pitch was for me to stay on that grant project that those other women were on, me kind of still run it, but kind of give up the rest of my director duties, because those were the ones that sucked. I mean, honestly, you know, I loved the project that I was working on. But do it from home, but also be in the office as they needed me to be.
Right.
But that still required childcare. I mean, we were still going to have to send her to our amazing in-home sitter who was willing to do drop-in days, like a couple days a week, instead of doing a weekly sitter. Like, it was all looking like it was going to be gravy.
That's
like,
right.
Except for the payment.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is whenever you're running the show as a director, you kind of know what everybody makes.
Oh, baby. Did so. I know? I was submitting their contract, their
That's
payments.
Right.
Like, I knew the girls I was paying, how much they were making.
Right.
I mean, I knew it all. Because as a grant writer and a grant manager, you see the budget.
Yeah.
You know what's there.
Yep.
You know what percentage is going to who ain't even working on that project. You know what I mean? And so Jess and I prayed over a number that we thought would only make sense. I mean, we were not by any means trying to be greedy, which in hindsight makes me sick because like we were not trying to be greedy. We were really just trying to make sure like, okay, for me to work and it's actually, which all these mamas, any mama out there listening right now, especially the ones with more than one child, you know what I'm about to say. For me to work, for me to get up, get dressed, get my kids, then pay the daycare, you know, get the gas, take time away from my home and still be able to help with the bills, it's got to be a certain amount. If it's not, you'd be better off staying at home full time and clipping coupons and probably saving money. I mean, you know what I mean? And my mom is that, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think there's, obviously there's people listening that have older kids where it could be more like a social aspect or whatever that might make it worth it.
Yeah, but I don't know any woman who's going to take on responsibility and feel like they're not at least getting a little bit of payoff.
Very true. But what I'm saying is like some people need it from like a connection to people standpoint. Like you were connected to people. We needed to be able to figure out how our baby was going to eat food.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily that same thing. But like you mentioned, we were going to have, if you were part-time, we were going to have part-time childcare, which is more expensive than full-time childcare per hour or day or per whatever. So it was like, in order for this to actually make sense,
we had to
make sure it was worth your time and your effort. And then also what you were worth, right? Like we weren't going to do it for free.
The responsibility there was high.
Right.
And we knew it was only going to be even more, like it was going to be higher once I was home. And, you know, we knew this company, we were very much on all the time, which meant I would get a text at 8 p.m. I would get a text at 6 a.m., you know. And so, oh my God, I own maternity leave. I was getting phone calls, you know. And so we knew that it was going to be a situation where, yes, I was making part-time money, but I was probably going to be required to answer phone calls and emails pretty often, you know. So anyway, prayed over this number. Of course, requested a little bit higher because that's what my husband, you know, he says, ask for the moon and just see what
art of negotiation.
Right, negotiation. but y'all, the response was, well, I mean, it was
underwhelming.
Oh my gosh, it was actually an insult to me.
Yeah.
And so then we went back and forth, and this was for weeks, and I waited for weeks. Cause so I came back with an offer. And so Jess and I had prayed over this exact number. And it was one of those things where I have never felt, y'all, I mean, I crave this kind of peace all the time. I felt such a peace with, if she comes back and says yes to this number, I'm meant to be here. If she comes back and says 1 cent below this number, I am not meant to be here. And she came back at the same offer she pitched me at the beginning. Do you remember? Not a dollar more, not a cent more. It was
50 cents less than the number that we had.
Yeah.
It was that close.
Yes, we were negotiating like over 50 cents. But I had started like lot more. We're talking about dollar or hourly pay, by the way.
Right. Everybody. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was, again, you knew the going rate for people who were contracted.
I knew what I was paying my contractors.
Right. And so for us to be, you know, a person who worked for this company, I guess, and to know what they were willing to pay contracted people, and then to have that thrown to you, it made you feel like you weren't worth. They didn't value
my blood, sweat, and like
That's
total
right.
obsession with this company, and
That's right.
so it was it. That was it.
That was it.
I mean, it was the most freeing email I have ever sent.
And again, we prayed about it. Like we knew exactly. We were like, hey, yeah, maybe this number would be doable. So that's, and it wasn't like, you know, we need to have this extra income so that we don't change our lifestyle. It wasn't like that. It was, this is my value. This is what I'm worth. And this is what would be less than this is insulting. Right. And we'll take this. And
I would rather just be home with my child full time.
That's right.
You know, for, you know, and so, yeah, 50 cents, what's 50 cents? But it was just the number we prayed over.
That's right.
Like, it was just the number we both had on our hearts that, like, if this is not it, then this is not it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, it was, I remember sitting at my desk and just feeling like a flood of warmth over my body when I got her email that basically did not move from, you know, there was no negotiation there.
That's right.
There was no negotiation on her end. And so I just remembered the flood of warmth and thinking, like, if there ever was a sign, yeah, like, this is it, you know? And so I crave that moment over and over again, just in all, like, I'm like, Lord, can't you just tell me what to do now, like you did back in, you know, 2000, whatever. And, you know, because it was so apparent, but it was also super scary. So all that to say,
yep,
Constance came home to be a stay-at-home mama.
That's right.
And I will not say that I'm designed to be a stay-at-home mom, but in that time period, it was necessary. It was my responsibility. It was my calling. It was what I needed to be for my child and for my family at that time. And so I came home, and y'all, like I said in the last episode, there was not a lot of research on foods out there. So there was this one mom who, because I'm like, where do I start? One food for 10 to 14 days, but where do I start? You know? So there was this one mom who had FPIs. I don't know where she's from, but if I ever met her, I would probably hug her, thank her, do whatever I could for her. She must have found herself in this same exact situation that I was in. And she decided she was going to do something about it a couple years before we got our diagnosis. She started a poll of other, I guess she was in like a community board, because this Facebook wasn't even really like thriving. Those Facebook groups weren't as big back then. And so it was like a community board, and she polled moms and asked them to note each food that they trial with their child, whether it was a pass or a fail. So she had pie charts of probably like 100 different foods, just from other mothers' experiences on whether it was a pass or a fail. And so from that, though, you could see these foods are more highly reactive and these foods are more safe. So we started at the safe ones.
Yep.
Because I just felt like, okay, we are not starting with milk. We are not starting with, you know, any of this other crazy mess. My body cannot handle it. My mind cannot handle it. Like, we're going to do the easy stuff. So we started with just the most basic things, like watermelon was one that we trialed. And I printed all these pie charts out. Do you remember my binder?
Your binder. I was just about to ask about the binder.
It's still over there. I should have actually grabbed it and looked through it. But I printed them all out, and that's how I made our schedule.
Yep.
So we would trial foods 10 to 14 days. And when we were doing that, y'all, like, it wasn't, I mean, and sometimes I feel like I was robbed from that. Like, I say I wasn't meant to be a stay-at-home mom, but like,
It was different.
No. I was not, you know, we weren't like going on play dates and going to the library and doing all the things, because I was scared to death too. Like, I was scared to death a kid was going to drop a Cheerio and it was going to be all over.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's Cheerios. Okay. Right. And so I was just scared to death. And I was feeding her all the time. Hello, you're always feeding your kids. And so then you had to wait the 2 hours, or it could have happened in 2 hours, or it could have happened 14 days later. We won't know, you know? And so I was just scared. And I also had a lot of postpartum from her, and so a lot of anxiety. And we just were home all the time. Like, my dad would come by, my aunt would come by, you know, your mom would come by sometimes, but she was still working then, you know, like, I was anxious, and we were home literally all the time.
All the time.
I did dabble into some craft. I learned how to do a vinyl machine in those times of my life. And
what
I found
a fun time. Everything's a DIY project when you have a Cricut or a Silhouette or whatever.
But that was my outlet. I had, you know, Pinterest. I made Pinterest projects with Sarah Mason. That was our life for a year, I mean, trialing foods. It was hot and heavy for the first 6 months. And then I was finally able to just kind of like relax a little bit, knowing that she had so many safe foods under her belt. And so we just ate those things.
Yeah.
And so, like, things like...
The potato balls?
Oh, my God. Okay. So, beef actually is less highly reactive than chicken. So, chicken and turkey were more highly reactive. So, we trialed beef first, and then we trialed venison. And because Jess hunts, and so we had ground venison. And so we would make, and then potatoes were two of her passes. So she was a sweet potato and a white potato. Those three, those four things that I just mentioned were probably like the majority of her consumption from months 8 to 11. Like, we would make.
So many.
I knew avocado oil was a pass. I had not tried anything with corn or anything like that. So like no corn oil, like I was scared of olive oil, whatever. So, but avocado oil I knew was a pass because she had passed avocados. And so I would take raw ground venison and mix it with mashed potatoes and then roll them into balls and bake them. Same as Jess is like, y'all should see his face. It's like so disgusting. Because y'all, it's all we had. It's all the house smelled like.
Yeah.
And we would change it up and do sweet potatoes sometimes.
Do you remember, what was the pancake
mixture? Yeah, that's where I'm headed next. So she also...
Because I made those like 1,000 times to where I didn't have to look at a recipe anymore.
Yes. Okay, y'all. So she also had bananas as a pass. But there was no other flour that was a pat. Like, we weren't dabbling in it. Because flour has a lot of ingredients. Like, I was looking for things that had the one ingredient. So we could then pinpoint what that one, you know, pass was.
Yeah.
And so, like, it took me forever to find dried fruit for her to eat that was just dried fruit.
Yep.
No added, like, guar gum or whatever that stuff is or you know, any oils or any, just freeze-dried fruit. And I think it's called like Little Duckies brand or something. I was just so thankful for that brand. I found it at Whole Foods. And like to this day, y'all, I don't love to go into Whole Foods. I know you would think I would, but I...
She used to.
I used to love Whole Foods. Yeah. Loved Whole Foods before F-Pies. But it haunts me when I walk in there, the hours that I spent looking at every label on those aisles just to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So bananas were a pass, and we were wanting to kind of make things that stuck together, like make like baked type things for her that were a little more substance than just a raw fruit or a raw vegetable or whatever. And so I ordered this banana flour. It was powdered dried banana.
Yum.
And that was it. And it took me forever to come up with this recipe to make it to where the consistency was not awful for Sarah Mason. But I used powdered banana and breast milk. And was there anything else in it?
I used to have the recipe.
And it had a few other things that were, was it like, I don't know. I mean, that's all you need to know. Powdered banana and breast milk, and we made them into pancakes. And just it was the most
literally like
awful.
A batch every Saturday morning or whatever, and not just for Saturday food. It was for like you said, like if we wanted to go to the playground or the children's museum or whatever, like we had to pack things.
Breast milk, banana powdered pancake. I mean, that is how. Because she was just so limited on safe foods then that we were just scared to try. There was no way I was going out in public on a wing and a prayer. Like, I just wasn't.
Here it is.
Okay, what is it?
Applesauce.
Oh, applesauce, yes. Apples were a pass. So, 2/3 cup. No, what this? Oh, yes. Okay. 2/3 cup of the banana flour. Baking powder. There was a certain baking powder that was made out of potato starch. So I knew that one was safe. Yeah. That's what we still use. Coconut milk was a pass at this point.
This is January of 17. Okay. So she's a year and a half at this point. Yes. And still eating this.
Yeah. Yeah. Coconut milk was her milk. And after we quit the breastfeeding, but I think that's a little much. I think that's late. I think we did the banana powder.
Just that for a while. Forever. That's right.
Anyway, okay, so we're rambling on that. But just, I mean, it was some times, y'all. On her first birthday, she had a watermelon cake instead of a regular cake. And I have a sweet friend who literally constructed a watermelon cake that looked like something out of like Pinterest. It was incredible. I sobbed when I saw it. Cause I was just also in my feelings pretty heavily about, you know, not getting to not have all those have experiences smash cake of, and all the... of you think are just normal, you know, for babies. But the watermelon cake was epic. She loved it. And you know, we did that for a while. A while, until finally she was closer to 2 when I think I relaxed a little bit.
Yeah, because again, the like Facebook group you were in and then like all the things that you had read were like, could grow out of it by, you know,
18 months. 18 or months, it could be 3 years.
Or 3 years. And so when we're in that window, there was a couple times we were like, should we try oats?
Yeah.
And then every time you were like, nope, can't do it.
No, because I mean, who needs oatmeal?
That's right.
You know, if it was something else, like maybe, but like we just were not, like there was not an oat to be found in the Shelby household after that. And so who needs oatmeal? Yeah. You know, if it was something else, maybe because again, we could have gone back to the clinic and done the official trial.
IV hookup and all that stuff.
So in the meantime, we were blessed. We did not see a reaction to anything else. Again. FPIs. Yeah, no more vomiting. Now, she did end up having an egg IgE allergy.
Yeah.
And it, when did we trial that again? I don't know. Somewhere along the way, it just went away. Yeah. I think it was actually pretty late that I trialed that. But that, I know. We had baked something, and so I tried it baked in first, but we were in the second house by then.
That's right.
So
she was at least 3.
Yeah. And then we just kind of, then I got brave one day and did the scrambled eggs, and that eventually went away. So, and then I don't think my baby had oats till she was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I held my breath even still. Like I just.
And she still doesn't love.
Oh, she hates oats.
Like granola bars.
Yeah, hates oatmeal.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing that I wish we can still work on. Well, really, she's got her own opinions at this point, but she's got some texture issues with some things, you know, because she ate pretty much the same things for so long as a young child. Yeah. And so, and two, Jess has texture issues too. Like it's also a genetic-ish thing. And so, you know, I do worry just about that, but not much. Like she hates noodles. We talk about this all the time, but she hates spaghetti.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, are we having spaghetti tonight? And Gloria's like, woohoo, spaghetti! You know, and so.
Which is odd, though, because she loves macaroni and cheese if you make it.
Yeah, that's it, though.
So that's just nothing but noodles.
Nothing but noodles,
So.
So, that is our FPIs story. Did I miss anything?
No, I mean, it's funny because how we kind of started this with the unknown and, you know, being scared and all the things. It's like sometimes things are meant to happen a certain way. Right. Like we wouldn't be here on a podcast.
That's right.
If they had given you that dollar amount. And we would have stayed with the company, right?
And so,
maybe, you know, at that point, it was just a scary thing that we weren't sure of how it was going to work out, but God had us, you know, and so here we are. So it was a life-changing thing.
Yeah, so we didn't tell the in-between part, I guess.
No.
So in that time, while we were at home trialing one food at a time. I was a solid stay-at-home mom for, 5 months? I mean, it was 4 or 5 months. I was just stay-at-home mom, and we were just trialing foods. And I had, right before all this, I had started Perfect Fit Nutrition. So in that time, it was I just met clients at coffee shops, and we would talk through and do meal plans. Like, I would help them with meal plans. They were personalized to what they needed for their day, for their preferences, that kind of thing. It was like just a little side gig, but it was something that really got me. It kept my mojo going. I loved it. We were a part of a gym family at the time, and so we were just really well connected. So there were people that were, you know, wanted my services. And so I would, once a week, some weeks, our in-home sitter, our amazing angel in-home sitter, she would let us drop in. Like, we would let Sarah Mason drop in, and then I would set up any clients I had for that day. And I would go meet them at one of two places local to us. Neither place had a, private
meeting room.
And so we were doing weigh-ins in the bathroom. Okay, y'all, I was bringing, let's talk about it. Like, I was bringing a scale. And I bought this, I had this work bag forever. And I'll never forget when I had made enough money that I felt like, I'm going to buy a nicer work bag. And I bought, remember we went to that outlet? It was a Kate Spade outlet. And I bought a Kate Spade work bag for like $50. And I thought you couldn't tell me nothing walking up in Corner Bakery with my scale in my Kate Spade bag. Okay. But so, you know, whereas and if any dietitians are listening, or anybody anywhere, this was unheard of. Like, other dietitians, no doubt, were mocking or judging this situation that I was running.
Oh, for sure.
You do not do that. You do not bring a client into the bathroom
at a restaurant
and say, here, hop on my scale. I did get a cookie sheet liner.
Oh yeah.
For them to step out of their shoes onto the liner before they had to step on the scale, because I realized they were stepping their feet on a nasty floor in the bathroom to get on my scale.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is, man, that is some real.
You were awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder how many people were like, what am I doing?
Oh. But they were so I don't know. And that again, it's just it's a God thing 100%, because none of them were like that. None of them were what are you making me do? And then they were like, here, let me write you a check. You know what I mean? None of them were mad at me or frustrated with me. And so we did this for a while, where I would go see just my occasional clients. And y'all, really what that was is I was making enough money to buy my vinyl for my vinyl project.
Oh, geez. Or, you know, cover the childcare, you know,
right. It had to be enough to cover the childcare. That was kind of our rule or whatever. And then one day, one of my very outgoing friends from the gym called me randomly. She said, Constance, I have this great idea. I think me and you should team up, and we should do weight loss challenges on Facebook. And I was like, all right. I mean, literally, it was she told me.
With the fitness aspect.
She did the fitness. I did the nutrition. Yeah. We were like, we'll only take 50 at first. And then that's what we did. It was so I had a program that I was using for my meal plan. So I used that to help calculate IRs or help. That's my clients know what that is.
Shop talk.
Sorry. I had to calculate calories and macros for each client. I did it individually by myself. And then she helped them with fitness focus. And then I did a video every week about a nutrition topic in this Facebook group to people who paid us money. And it was incredible, but it was also extremely scary. I remember I would sit in the living room for hours and record a video and then re-record it and stop and re-record it. I didn't just talk so fluidly like I do now. I was always nervous about what I was saying. It was really dim in that house. I love to look back at the videos and see how grainy they are.
And it was on an iPhone 4.
I still, like, to this day, I do not have, like, a camera. I mean, I do everything on my phone because it's what just comes so easy to me. And so from there, it just, we were like, oh, this eight weeks is over. Let's do another one.
Yep.
And that's how it just evolved. And then eventually she's like, okay, girl, I got a full-time job. I got to get out of this. And then I just kept turning it over. And so, but, you know, they're in that time, I mean, there were highs and lows. One time I only had like 8 people. And, you know, like, it wasn't just a steady incline by any means. But it's wild because I would not have ever been in a position to say, sure, let me dedicate hours and hours. I mean, I lived and breathed those things at the beginning. And even, I mean, now today still. But, like, I would not have been able to do that with a full-time job. And looking back, it's really crazy to think about it this way, but it was like my saving sanity back then. Like, I had something else to think about other than freaking banana powder. I mean, you know, like, I had something else to think about, or something else that felt a little stressful in my life other than, is my kid going to throw up today?
Yeah.
While my husband is in, you know, you were traveling all across the state at that time. Mm. So sometimes he'd be like 3 hours away. And we would try to set it up like, it's a trial day, try not to drive too far, you know?
Yep.
But, I mean, wild.
Absolutely crazy.
And then it just evolved till I was part-time working for Perfect Fit. I got some more days at the babysitter, and then here we are.
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy.
So, that is our story today. I know, like, I don't know that I would ever, I know that going back, I would never say, like, I would do that all over again, because if I got to choose, like, I would definitely choose that again. I wouldn't, because it was, while it was some amazing things being woven in my life, it was also like the hardest, most exhausting, most stressful time of my life. And so I would never choose that again. Like, but it's just crazy how God let that happen. He made that happen so that other things could happen for us that we didn't even know we needed or even wanted. You know, it's not like one day I just woke up and said, hey, I'm going to start a business. You know, that's not how this happened for me. And even some days I'm like, babe, let me just hang it all up. I mean, you know, like, it's hard. Running a business is hard, you know? Yep. And so I was not that person that was like, I really want to be a business owner one day. But God had other plans. And, like, I guess he was going to tell me that however he needed to. And you know, it was through Sarah Mason's illness. I am such a determined individual that I do not think I would have walked away from that job for any other reason than my child.
Yeah.
And if I had walked away from that job eventually, it would have been for another job. It wouldn't have been to be at home. I don't think I ever would have let myself say, I'm going to be at home, you know, because I was so determined to, like, make a difference in my own nutrition world, you know?
Yep.
So, any other thoughts on this? What did you, any other, your number one thing that you took from that experience as a whole with us?
I don't know. I don't know exactly, you know, what I would say the number one thing is. It's kind of funny to try to think back 7 years, almost 8 years ago and try to remember what happened when and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, here lately at church in some different podcasts I've listened to, the Romans 8:28 keeps coming up, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so a lot of people tell you all the time, this is your purpose. This is what you were meant to do. And it's like, if you would have told us that, like, the night we were in the ER, we'd have been right, like, don't want it. Don't.
You can take your purpose. You can and
keep.
Shove
you
it.
Can keep that purpose. Yeah. Just get us out of this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, for anybody who's going through stuff, like, God uses things in different ways to like put you where you're supposed to be.
Like, you literally had, no idea. Like, none. Who would have thought?
That this that is what would have
led to this turned to into this.
It, over 50 able, cents
right over 50 is, cents
is the
and a crazy food allergy. Like, me being able to literally live out like what I love every day as my job, and like, honestly, y'all, I didn't even know that I loved it that much till I'm here. You know what I mean? I didn't really just say, like, I surely wasn't, like, I love getting in front of a camera and buying a fancy microphone and talking into it. Like, I was, I told y'all on one of these podcasts, I about threw up in speech class. Like, it's just wild.
Yeah, like, it is. I heard something recently that said, when God gives you a gift, the gift that God gave you is not for you. It's for other people. That's what a gift is, right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's... Yeah, you might not love having a podcast or a camera in your face or teaching or whatever, but like, your gift is to other people to help them understand the way that they can eat and live and be free right. with food.
Right.
So God used this to get you there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
It is. Because again, I just would have never thought. I think one thing too that I really learned in that time, which is kind of a side swipe, but I was all, because food is my life, like, I loved food even before I was like this perfect fit nutrition person. I have always enjoyed food. I've always loved to watch people enjoy food. And I think one thing that I did prior to Sarah Mason's allergy was really kind of invade people's personal space, I guess, about feeding their children. Like, I was happy to give like our nieces a snack that I thought was fine. Or I was happy to ask somebody, when are you going to stop breastfeeding? Or when are you going to let her have a cookie? Or, you know, like, I felt like I was entitled in that way for some random, who knows, reason to be able to ask people those things. And like, I also felt like it was just fine if I opted to feed their child. And for me, if you are a mother or a friend and a grandmother listening, like, mamas are dealing with anxiety and worry and concern with their children that, like, you don't know the extent of, unless you are the mother of that child or the father of that child. Like, you don't know what they are dealing with. And so, and you don't know what their child has experienced or not experienced or reacted or not. You don't know, you know, you just don't. And so one thing that I really learned was, do not ask parents, do not pressure parents, do not whatever about feeding their children the way that they want to feed them. And that's why you will see me out here. Yeah, I will say, like, ideally we would love for our kids to eat fruits and vegetables, but if somebody posts on my page and says restrict your kids sugar, you know I've been hacked, because I am not going to tell you, I am not going to shame you around how you feed or don't feed your children, because I felt that. Now, for us, it wasn't shame. I mean, it felt that way because people were naive and didn't understand exactly what we were going through. But like, people would say to me, Constance, can't she just have some birthday cake on her birthday? And I'm sitting over here like,
I wish.
Damn, I wish. You know, like, thank you. Thank you for jabbing that knife and twisting it. Yeah. You know, like, I wish she could. But if you want to hold her hair, her little ponytail back while she's puking and then take it. And I got to the point where I was so angry about it when people would say things. I would say, if you want to take her to the ER after, be my guest.
Yep.
You know, because it was just such blatant disrespect in my eyes. Now, it, honestly, it was just ignorance, just like who I was prior to the diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
But so this is I feel the need to like put that out there on blast that like, you don't know it all about those people's children. And if the mama says no, then just say no, you know, just, you know, because allergies are scary, and whether you think you know all about it or not, it, who knows?
That's right. you never know what someone else is going through.
Right. So, all right, with that, we are going to wrap it up. I hope y'all enjoyed this. I've been putting out some long ones lately, but...
Is this long?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not as long as the first part we did, but... yeah, I hope y'all have an awesome, awesome week. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the foods you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!